morning, 709 News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News, and we haven't had an awful lot of chance to talk to our congressional candidates, but we are going to at least do some of that here today with Greg Merk, who is a candidate for United States Congress District 1, running against the incumbent Matt Gaetz. He ran last time around for District 2 in the state representative race, and he kind of switched places with Chris Dosev. Chris is now running in District 2, and Greg has moved up to run in the congressional race. Greg, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Well, thanks for having me, Andrew. Good to be with you. Good morning.
Absolutely. Great to have you. So let me give you just a minute to tell people, you know, your elevator speech. Like, who are you? Why are you running? Why you?
Well, I'll tell you, I served over 20 years on active duty. And I think that that gives you a preparation for leadership that the civilian world really cannot duplicate. And I think that it's important that in this district, the most military district in America, really, that we have a leader representative in Washington that at least has experience in the military. I think that's very important. But fundamentally, I think that we're not well represented in Washington. Northwest Florida is an extremely conservative district. I'm a conservative, not only a fiscal conservative, but also a social conservative. And contrary to, I think, what we see on television portrayed by Matt Gaetz, I don't believe that he's a true conservative inside. And that's frankly frustrating me. You know, I think America is tired of politicians that say one thing and do another. They want somebody who says what they mean and means what they say. And as a true conservative, I think that we need the representative in Washington that represents the values of Northwest Florida. And instead, I think we have a representative who is one thing on television and is a different person in real life. And that's what really motivated me to run, because I think that Northwest Florida is going a different direction. Wants to go in the right direction, but our representative is not going to get him there. And, you know, frankly, Congress is failing the American people. They're failing the president. And I think that our representative is failing Northwest Florida.
So let's talk a little bit about that for a second. What would you do differently if you're in the House of Representatives? Again, under the current scenario, if the numbers hold like this, the Democrats will still control. So, you know, you would be in the minority. What would you do as a member of the minority in order to try to get your agenda accomplished?
Yeah. Okay, well, I'll tell you, first of all, I don't think that it's it does us any value to send Republicans to Washington who are going to stand shoulder to shoulder with Democrats on marquee issues. So that's number one. And I'll tell you, there's an extremely important issue in the way of climate change that is really taking America in a direction that is bad for the economy, it's bad for free markets, and it is undermining American exceptionalism. The climate change movement is something that our congressman is an ardent supporter of. He's even written his paper, The Green Real Deal, which if you've read it, you'll know that there's really nothing in there substantive. It's a lot of focus group words. But climate change is an extremely important issue today because it's fundamentally about the destruction of free markets. And I think the American people are being deceived.
Greg, I understand on the climate issue, but that wasn't the question. What I was asking is, if you're the member of the minority, which obviously your opponent is the member of the minority right now, and you were talking about getting your agenda accomplished, how would you work, unless Republicans take back control, how would you work as a member of the minority to get more done?
Well, look, I think part of working as a minority or working as a conservative is standing with the issues that are fundamental to conservatism and standing against, you know, stand toe-to-toe against these kind of issues. Look, I think that these are important important issues. The climate change movement, we can't give ground on climate change. We can't give ground on some of these radical issues that the Democrat Party is pushing, and we certainly can't have a representative who really is standing shoulder to shoulder on those issues. So what I'm talking about is pushing against this movement of picking winners and losers. I'm for smaller government, fiscally responsible government, not one that picks winners and losers. This is a big issue because if we do not maintain American exceptionalism economically, then we're going to undermine our influence in the world. And this is an important issue. We shouldn't be funding the countless green initiatives that we are. It is a very dangerous thing to have a representative who supports an agenda that is going to push America further and further to the left. And we have to have a representative there that's going to push it back. And there's really, this is both a, there are local issues that are good to Northwest Florida, and there are national issues. And this is obviously a national issue with climate change,
right?
But then there are also local issues.
One of the things that people say a lot in this election, and I mean, I know you've heard, Chris Dosev has said the same thing. A lot of people say the same thing. The only thing that matters the most is getting President Trump reelected. Certainly one of the arguments that supporters of the incumbent would say is he is as close to the president as anybody in Congress and has exactly that kind of relationship. What makes you think that you would be better at helping Trump get reelected or helping the Trump agenda continue to advance?
Well, I would kind of push back on that idea, too. I mean, just look at the war power resolution. I think that there's much that could be said on that front. And again, being an ardent Trump supporter is supporting Trump's positions on these issues. You know, Trump is not pro-climate change. Trump is not pro-legalization of marijuana. Trump is not pro-radical animal rights. Trump is not pro the radical LGBTQ agenda. And Trump certainly was not in favor of what Nancy Pelosi did in the war power resolution. You know, that was a personal and targeted attack on the president as commander-in-chief. And our congressman voted with Nancy Pelosi on that war power resolution. That's not being an ardent Trump. That's not something that that Trump embraces. None of those issues are. And so I think what Trump really wants is not only somebody that is going to support him in lip service, but somebody who's going to support him on votes on the floor. And Matt Gaetz has not done that. He's not voted, been an ardent supporter of Trump on the House floor, and he certainly isn't on the marquee issues that the Democrat Party and the radical Democrat Party is pushing for America.
We've got somebody on the line already that wants to ask you a question. Christine at 437-1620. Christine, what's your question for Greg Merk?
Hello, Mr. Merk. This is Christine, and I had asked Mr. John Mills a question this morning, and I think it's fair I would like to see your opinion on this. What is your opinion on a congressional convention? I understand that maybe you're in favor of that, and I would like to have you clarify it.
All right. Thanks, Christine.
Yeah, I am. I think the problem with that conventional convention for people who don't support it, which I do, is that there is a general misunderstanding that somehow it will be a runaway convention, which is just not the case. They have already established the criteria and the issues that they will debate. Among them is limiting the federal government's power over the states, protecting states' power, states' rights. Another is term limits and a balanced budget. These are the only three topics that the convention will cover, the only three topics that they can vote on. And because of the rules of the convention, you're not going to be able to bring in whatever you want and throw in everything in the kitchen sink. Those are the only three issues that will be debated and voted on. I 100% support the convention. But that being said, we've got a country that has already virtually eviscerated the Constitution. And so while I support the convention, I'm leery that we don't abide by the Constitution today. So while I support the convention, there's a part of me that almost wonders, what good will it do? We already ignore the Constitution today. Will the Constitution convention accomplish anything? But that being said, I do believe we can at least get past term limits and put that in the Constitution. I 100% support term limits, as well as the other things, the balanced budget. Federal government overreach.
What would be your term limit for U.S. Congress? Are you talking 8 years? Is that your idea? What about for the Senate?
Yeah, I think it should be the same as right here. That 8 years as a Congress should be good, and three terms as a Senate is way more than enough. But three terms as a Senate, four terms in Congress.
So 8 and 18. All right, very good. Do you, Greg? I don't know that I've had a chance to ask you this question before, but did you support the first CARES Act? Would you support a subsequent CARES Act for things like unemployment relief or business financing? What's your view on that?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you. I mean, one of the things I think that uniquely qualifies me in this race is I have a finance background. I was educated at probably one of the best business schools in the United States, at the McDonough School of Business. I don't think anybody understands the fundamentals of economics, fiscal policy, sound money policy better than me. But I will tell you that, okay, I get it. The coronavirus has done has done many things. But we have to understand that there's a difference between the bubble and the pin that pricks the bubble. And we're conflating the two. The coronavirus was just the pin. We have an over-leveraged country, an over-leveraged government. We have household debt, corporate debt, and federal government debt that is at record levels. And all this is doing is throwing more money into the system. And while at the same time, we have a contraction of the amount of goods and services. That is the very definition of inflation. Inflation is not higher prices. Higher prices is a result of inflation. Inflation is more money in the system. So at a time when we're contracting goods and services, we're grossly expanding the money supply, which means we have more money chasing less goods and services. We're going to see the inflation rear its ugly head. I believe that at $600 a week is only a Band-Aid on a much bigger problem, and it is encouraging people to stay home. And I think that we need to move in another direction, and that direction is getting this country opened up, getting kids back to school, and allowing this economy, the greatest economic engine in the world, to start moving again. But
all
I think
right.
the Democrats are 100% opposed to that.
Very good. I think we've now satisfied where everybody's had the same amount of time, which was my whole goal in having you on again. Greg Merck, candidate for U.S. Congress, District Run. Good luck on Tuesday, Greg. Thanks for the time again, sir. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, Andy.